human beings, I firmly believe that we are hardwired to remember stories. You see something on TV or in the news, you bump into a friend in the supermarket or at the bus stop. Have you seen this? Did you hear this? Oh, did you see this funny story? How often do you bump into people and say, did you hear about this funny data that I read about? You don't. Hello, I'm Louise Chandler-Rutt. Welcome to Land and Deliver. This is the marketing and communications podcast that's all about making messages land and delivered in ways that people like you will care and act.
Hello, I'm Darren Wingham. And if you're responsible for a message and what happens after it's delivered, then this podcast is for you.
So, Darren, question for you. What is your favourite story of all time? Something that's memorable for you?
I'll tell you what it is. It's a story I've always remembered this from when I was a kid. And this is the 1970s. So, you know, it's all about parables and Christianity and all the rest of it. But I just remember it. It's basically about a bloke who is going for a walk. And the sun and the wind are up in the sky, and the wind says, "I can make that bloke take his coat off," and the sun says, "I can do it. I think I can make that person take his coat off." And the wind goes, "No, I can definitely do it." Well, the sun goes, "Okay, off you go." So the wind blows really, 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 really hard. And as he blows hard, the man holds onto his coat tighter and tighter and tighter, and he's run out of puff. And the sun just comes out. Lots of hot, warm sunshine. He gets hot, takes the coat off.
Oh, wow. Okay, and that was, did you read that story? Is it something that you saw as a child?
Yeah, it was in a picture book, I think. And it was just a story that just got read. It just really resonated to me as a child, but also as an adult when you talk about behaviour. And actually, if you want to get someone to do something, you know, do you force them to do it or do you shine your light?
That's really lovely, actually. And as you were talking about, I can almost feel the warmth of the sun. That's a good one. My one that always sticks with me is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. When I was a little girl, my mum, before I could learn to read, used to read it to me all the time, and she'd say, "Are you not bored of this by now?" And I always wanted to read that book. And then as my reading got better, I would read it over and over. Then the film came out, and I watched it multiple times. Showing my age now, I had the VHS video that basically got worn out. It got wobbly. I watched it every single Saturday, and I know it so well. And this story stuck with me. And if you're not familiar with it, it's about a factory owner who owned a chocolate factory, and he's looking to find the next person who's going to run it. And he puts six kids through all these different stories and trials and tribulations to work out who will be the worthy winner of his chocolate factory in the end. But I guess the reason why we're talking about stories today is because as a leader, as a business owner, thought leader or expert, we're often looking to share messages that resonate and connect with people. And we can often be bogged down with a lot of data, a lot of numbers, and a lot of information that feels quite heavy. And we're wondering, how do we share that information with the audience, with the person who's going to receive it, for them to act and care and remember?
All the data to you is important. Every single space.
Every single bit. And you're trying to tell everyone everything at the same time.
Yeah.
But we have to remember we're meeting people in a place and space where they might be distracted. They might have a lot on their mind. It may not be their priority to receive all this information in one go, how you want to deliver it. So, stories. Stories is what you can use to make life so much easier for yourself and to make these messages land with your ideal audience. And not just stories, but the dynamic of weighing up when you use written word and when you use video and visual. Now, this is something that we're well-versed in, given all of our years of experience of what we've been doing in media marketing and communications, video and audio. I mean, for as long as I've known you, Darren, you've had a camera either taking pictures or filming or then recording. So today, what we want to talk to you about is to help you understand when it's great to have written text. We're not saying you shouldn't, but also there's a time and a space for having audio and visual communication as well. And in both ways, you can tell a story. It's just trying to understand when you use one mode of content or when you use another.
And I think it's a really good point, actually, to talk about stories and understand how powerful stories are. And we go back to the Stone Age, right?
Yes.
And if you think about the different ways we've used storytelling, because it is very, very powerful throughout all humans, but also there's stories by the fireside, there's the spoken story, but also, you know, there's the more simplified picture story that in some ways can tell a deeper meaning that you can't just say visually.
It's true.
So it's understanding the different mediums.
I think if I go back to my Roald Dahl example, when you read a book, your imagination can go anywhere based on the words that it's giving you. But when you see it, you're immersed into a different world. And my sister and I went and saw a film recently, Wuthering Heights, that basically is obviously based on the Emily Bronte book. And we were talking after the film about the differences in comparing visual to written, and both are very valid, but both definitely have their own dynamic and space in terms of storytelling. And what we want to do today is help you to understand the power of storytelling and how you can use it for your day-to-day working life when you're sharing all these important memos, presentations and information with your ideal audience. And I think, you know, this could be whether you've got a brochure versus a video, if you've got blog versus a podcast, you know, whatever's written and may seem quite lengthy, when should you choose that over audiovisual content and vice versa?
And I think if you think about one of them, which is perhaps reading stories, whether you're reading it in your head or maybe like my kids who had the Gruffalo story, you know, it's if you read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you have, and it must be, you've got to realise that they have different strengths. So if you're reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but then you see it in the film, your imagination may be so strong that actually seeing it in text form and having it in your head, and the film can be a little bit of a letdown. But in the other extreme, when I used to read the Gruffalo to my kids.
Love the Gruffalo.
You know, the kids never used to, my wife was never allowed to read the Gruffalo because she, quote, couldn't do the voices, you know.
You got into it, didn't you? No, you really did. I can imagine.
I've got them all in my head.
Yeah.
You know, the fox and the brown owl and all the rest of it. And it's just like, you know, and for them to sit there and hear that, it really came alive. And it's really interesting.
It's true. I think, Darren, when you think about it, as human beings, I firmly believe that we are hardwired to remember stories. You know, I'm the first to confess, numbers have never really been my thing. I've always been into stories and visual stories. But I think it's a human nature thing. You think about it in a simple sense. You see something on TV or in the news. You bump into a friend in the supermarket or at the bus stop. Have you seen this? Did you hear this? Oh, did you see this funny story? How often do you bump into people and say, did you hear about this funny data that I read about? You don't, because we're not conditioned. We're not built. We're built to remember stories.
Yes.
Stories that actually, if you think about it, get passed down in generations, even if you haven't got the book. Stories about, you know, characters and people and journeys and adventures. You remember that. You don't remember, well, in 1998, I had, you know, this data. So I think this is what we're talking about today. We want to take stories as a mode, as a way of expression, and not just say they're for fairy tales and for kids, but actually say, if you put it in a kind of business marketing sense, it's a really great communication tool to help you be memorable, to share information that may be complicated, but then also to say, when you take, how do you communicate and take a story and make it work for people, and so you don't overcomplicate things?
So I suppose the first thing we need to tackle then really is, you know, say we are talking to leaders, you know, so we're marketing professionals, and you and I, but also, you know, if you're working in a business and you're the marketing professional in that business, whether you're a marketing manager or marketing director, and you've then got to get your CEO or expert to start to talk in a storytelling way. There are challenges there, aren't there?
There are challenges. It can be really tricky, but I think it's all about keeping things simple. So if you know, for example, you're due to do a presentation or you want to create a brochure, what you can do is figure out, okay, how can I hook people in? How can I give people something that's going to make them go, oh, I need to read this or watch this? And if we think about, for example, two well-known examples, Doctor Who and Disney.
Yes.
Now, you may be thinking, what has Doctor Who and Disney got to do with my business presentation and brochure? Well, actually quite a bit, because, for example, with Disney, some would say, and it's been argued, that Disney only have one way of telling a story. Now, you look at all the Disney films, even in recent years with Pixar, Toy Story, and over the years you've had things like The Incredibles and Bug's Life, and I love Disney. Well, some would argue that they have one key way of telling a story. They set up a situation, there's a problem, and then there's a quest, and people need to go off on an adventure to solve that problem. Yeah. Happy days, it's all done. Yes, there's different characters. Yes, there's different scenarios. Yes, the script and voices are different. But actually, that one story arc of, you know, problem, go off on a quest, solve it, everyone's happy, is what we see repeated time and time again with Disney. Not a bad thing. Hey, no. It's made them billions. But what can you learn from that as a business owner to share a really long report that's detailed and wordy and maybe has a lot of jargon and synonyms and things in them? You can actually take it and go, right, how can I tell this as a story like Disney? I mean, you're a Doctor Who fan, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also understanding your own bias, because Doctor Who is even simpler, isn't it? You know, Doctor Who arrives, Doctor Who defeats monster, Doctor Who leaves again. That's pretty much it, isn't it? It's a three-parter. Yeah. But also, I think when you're talking to experts or leaders and you're trying to get them, or even yourself, if you're trying to take a lot of information and try and do it in a story form, you feel almost like you're dumbing down.
Yeah,
or you feel like, you know, you think, actually, I've got to do it a different way next time. But honestly, I mean, there are so many formats. The sitcom format is three characters. It is the smart one, smart aleck and fool. Mm. And it's the three parts, and it goes back to the Marx Brothers. They came up with it, I believe.
Yes.
And you can pretty much look at any sitcom and it's those three characters. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
It's just a case of the situation is different, the people and their experiences are different, and all of a sudden, it's, you know, these four formats are really, really strong for a reason. They really connect with it for a reason. So that when you're saying to your expert, you know, so for example, I had, I'm still doing some ongoing work at the moment with a recycling company. And he's really, really passionate about recycling, and we'll talk about recycling. And so, with the best will in the world, no one really cares about recycling until there's a problem, right? Or we're being fined. So I say to him, okay, well, what's the impact? What's the consequence of not doing it? What's the solution? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you work out a really quick way to jump from these lily pads of points, and all of a sudden you've got a story and a structure.
Taking up your point about waste and recycling, I worked on a campaign, and this idea wasn't mine, by the way. I came to the organisation when it was happening, but I always love it as an example. Like you say, how do you make people care about waste and recycling? Well, I remember there was a campaign that was just launching called The Waste Wizard, and it was basically for a website that if you want to recycle paper, cardboard, tin, if you're not sure if these items can be recycled, you go to a website, put the item in and your postcode, and it tells you, yes, you can recycle that in that area. The team were trying to figure out how do they make this more attractive to the public. They came up with Waste Wizard, and they built a story arc for the campaign about a computer game where you had Waste Wizard was basically trying to solve the issue of recycling, and it was like a quest that you went on. And as far flung as it sounds, because of the imagery and the messaging that they put out that created this whole world of solving the problem of recycling, the Waste Wizard campaign did really well, because it was all about what you do to inspire that action and having good versus evil. You know, you could be the good person that does, and you kind of solve it with the Waste Wizard tool that helps you work out where you recycle and what you recycle. So I think we have to get over the thing of sometimes taking a really serious topic and thinking it has to stay serious. You can have fun with it. I know there's a time and a place for it, but if we can sometimes make a story work with the message that we're trying to share, it can actually be quite fun and make something a bit more lighthearted if it's the right treatment to do that. And I know from your experiences of working in video, you've been able to talk about times when a video amplified more emotion than written word would have, for example.
I think so. I remember speaking to a professor at University of Exeter, And they asked me to do some work. Well, I say they asked me to do some work. My son is currently studying an MA there. So you know, freebie offer, dad rates. But you know, you forget that they sit in all this information, and it's really complex information. And I think it's a problem, you know, a lot of people have, is that you have all this information, but you need it to do something to somebody else. So all of a sudden you're out of your bubble. And, you know, that the power of storytelling is universal to all of humanity. So that's the bridge, if you like, from your expertise to then doing the thing that you want to do, which is to put it in somebody else's head, whose head isn't like yours.
Yeah.
So it's almost that kind of intermediate language. If you want to get them to feel something. So we were doing a major piece of research that's being done at Exeter University at the moment around superbugs, which will kill effectively 3 COVID's worth of deaths a year by 2050. That's a stat that we came up with. It was originally in the hard numbers, but I said, oh, hang on a minute, we just come out of COVID, and actually they'd done quite a lot of research to implement the vaccine. It's fascinating when you get to spend a day with a professor. But I said, actually, rather than going as numbers, let's talk about COVID.
Mm.
And that all of a sudden, you haven't taken away the information, but as a feeling and as an impact on the person you're talking to.
Relatable.
That's really relatable, but also they feel that number. So just telling them a number means nothing, but to feel that number is not just a number, it's also you remembering the impact emotionally of you sitting in a room, maybe, unfortunately, a lot of people experienced other relatives dying that they couldn't then be with, and all that emotion is immediately whipped up by just saying that one small story element.
So take us through, had that been a written piece, what do you think would have worked better with that story? Was it a video or was it a written piece to kind of explain that whole scenario?
Video is really good on the emotion and grabbing your attention and getting you to do something. And that's really, really strong to do that. If you're then looking to perhaps get more information, because, you know, you might, for example, let's say we're talking about prostate cancer, right? You know, men have prostate cancer. Men don't get seen because we just like to push it to one side. So you do a video to say, if you don't do this, this is the problem, and you live a shorter life. Mm. That's really important. And then the next stage is actually to go to this website and let's read up a bit more about it. And then in your own time, you're then motivated to do that. And then you grab the more information if you need to, or just book an appointment. So, you know, they both have their strengths.
I think what we're trying to say today is when you are thinking of a piece of content and you want to try and work out how do I share this in the best way, like you say, it's about thinking about your ideal audience, what's in their mind, where are they coming from. But I think like you say, Darren, facial expressions, body language, the emotion, that's what video is brilliant at teasing out, those visual cues that you don't get from written word. But then what a leader or thought expert can do is work out, okay, what do I want to save maybe for video? And what do I want to share in the written word that's going to be probably a bit more detailed or lengthy that allows people to get something from both platforms and from both audiences?
And doing them in the right order really, really helps. So,
yes.
You know, if you, for example, you know, you do a death by PowerPoint, or as we call it, or, you know, if you watch the weather forecast on the telly, for example, you and I just want to know if it's going to rain or not. We don't really want to know about high pressure systems and you know the upper atmosphere. All we're looking for is it going to rain where we are? Mm. And you know, by doing all that stuff, if you do the recall, then that's it. But you know, if you're in the room delivering lots of information, or in a video delivering lots of information, you've then lost them rather than going, this is really important. You've then got the buy-in and then said, okay, now you go and find the information here. Doing it in the right order really, really helps.
I think as well, you're right. There are times when a written briefing may come through at a business. You're like, oh, I'll get to it. I'll watch it later. With a video one sent, sometimes there's a bit more urgency. There's something about someone recording a video to sit down and brief teams internally that makes people think, I'm going to pay more attention to this. Because written, nothing wrong with the written text, but maybe it's a perception of how much time it takes. Watching a 3-minute video that briefs you on what's going on in your company is going to be more influential than reading 6 pages. Does anyone want to read 6 pages? Do they want to watch a 3-minute video? I sense so. And maybe it's something to do with our attention spans or how we want to consume content. But also, if you are creating that content, it's working out, how do I want people to consume it? I've been doing some work with people about deskless workers. So people who work out in an industry who aren't always sat at a laptop, how do you brief them? Mm. And actually, people can watch and listen to something much quicker than if you expect them to sit and read it, because you're putting a demand on someone's time when you say, watch this, yeah, or read it. It comes with a kind of preconceived thing of, how long is this going to take me? Is it going to be an inconvenience? And that's why when we talk about storytelling, we're saying a video can do and communicate something quicker than a written piece. But that's not to say you should leave the written piece out.
I think also, I'm going to completely contradict with what you just said here, because I think it also, I've got to tell a little story, because I think it also depends when you're thinking about written versus video, just thinking about how it's going to be consumed. So what I'm not saying is you've always got to do it that way around with the video and then go to the information. It can be the other way around. And I learned this the really hard way. A couple of years ago, I was asked to build some TV studios, right? So we built a couple of TV studios and a podcasting studio. And they said to me, quite rightly, okay, you're not always here. We do live webinars from here. You obviously run that gallery and that's great. But what if you're ill? What if you're not here anymore? What if you're not working for us anymore? We need a system in place that when someone else comes in, they can operate, you know, this studio for us. That's not a problem at all. So I got my iPhone and I went round and just said, this is what I do. Here's what I do here. Blah, 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 blah. And basically went through the whole setup. It was about 20 minutes long, whatever. I thought, I've done that. They've seen me do it rather than me write down the buttons. And I then put it as a link in the manual and I left it. Well, somebody else came in and sat down and it all went wrong.
Okay.
And then they're going, hang on a minute, where in this video am I going to scroll to find out where I start this thing up? You know, because a bit of kit went down and it's just like, actually, probably at that time, the video's not a good idea. And actually, there's a great story. Someone I'm speaking to, I have a lovely conversation with someone at ITV News and reminded me of a time when I was... where you were also when there was a national emergency. So this was the time when the Queen Mother passed away, and all of a sudden, if you want to find out how to do something, you're not, you know, in that urgency, watching a video on emergency procedures. Now then, if this happens, you've got to do. No, hang on a minute. So she was able to go to the book, find the procedure, and go right
step by step,
literally while the newsreader is reading. This is what I need to do. I need to make this phone call. Keep talking, newsreader. I'll give you 30 seconds. And, you know, so it can be the other way around. It's just understanding the use case and how you use it.
Yeah, I really like it. And I think nowadays we live in a time where we are always rushing around trying to figure out, right, how do I do this? Or make it quick. But it's really just giving that time to go, okay, if I want people to engage with this, how are they going to use it in an emergency like you just explained? And I think what we want to leave you with today is some practical takeaways. You've got the written versus audio visual. What do you use? When do you use it? First thing I would suggest is simplify. Yeah. What is it that you're trying to do? Like you said, Darren, always put together a how-to manual of how to run a studio. Simplifying it. It is quite a complicated thing. And I think when you know it, you're thinking, it'd be fine. I've done a video and you were right to do the video. But for those who walk in blind, when a piece of kit goes down, oh my goodness, like you say, where do they scroll to in the video to find that answer? Whereas a manual, nothing beats, as we say sometimes, written, actual bits of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps you go to a step-by-step guide. Think of it like a recipe book. If you're going to tell a story or make something, it's in a kind of cohesive order. Step one, step two, step three. You know, if you're baking a cake, you don't put, you do the sugar and butter first for a reason. You know, when you're telling a story, you start at the beginning or in the middle for a reason, because you've got that storytelling arc. So really simplify what you're trying to do in terms of how people will connect with that message and use the information.
And it's also the checks and balances as well. So when you simplify it, you know, like me, when I was making all I thought was a brilliant idea of making a walkthrough on how to operate every single piece of equipment, what I didn't do was to actually go to one of my colleagues and go, right then, how's that for you? Mm. You know, that check and that balance is really, really important to check that it lands properly with the people you're trying to communicate with.
And think about where your content will be used as well. When you, after watching or listening to this episode and you get the show notes, we talk about simplify. We talk about the checks and balances that Darren just mentioned, but also where will your content be used? Is it on the intranet? Is it for a presentation? Where will this story really resonate with people? Will they only hear it once? Will they get the chance to go back and engage with it again at another stage? Is it a message that they have to see in that moment, or can they get it on demand? Be it 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. It's really helping you to work out, because that helps you then say, actually, this does need to be written so they can see it in an emergency, or it's silly o'clock so I don't get a phone call, or it's a video that they can watch, you know, in their own time. I think that helps us to work out as well the best thing for it.
But I think it could also be a really, really difficult thing, and we're going to try and do a bit of an experiment here, if you are hearing this and are struggling with the message, because it's something that we deal with and we would like to interact with you on this one. So because I don't know about you, Louise, but I've often had people who are really strong experts in their field, know it inside and out, and they know what they want the story to be but can't quite, even with our describing it, can't quite get there. And we'd really love, if you're struggling with how to tell a story, you know, to get in contact with us and let's have a chat about it. And just, you know, cause I think it'd be really good to talk about some of these stories, even if we have to anomalise it for a later episode.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's working out the dynamic, isn't it? What are the nuances? We've talked about some of them today, but depending on what industry you work in, what story you're trying to tell, what audience you're trying to communicate with, it may differ slightly. So yeah, you're right. We would love to hear from you where you say, look, I'm working on this particular message and campaign. Like you say, you can anonymise it if you wish, but share with us what the difficulties you're having in terms of how you tell that story visually, or when it should be written, when should it be a presentation, when could it be audio? And if it's just making your head hurt, that's what we're here for. We can help you. We know.
But it does, doesn't it? Because you end up doing all this work and you are in the data. I always say it's a bit like the painter and decorator who can paint and decorate these wonderful big houses, but then they get home, they go look at their own place. It's like, I'm really not sure.
Happens often. This is true. So yeah, do get in touch. All the contact details are in the notes, and we would love to hear from you to see how you're doing with working out your messages, to see if they should be written or told in visual and audio form.
Yes. So you could just go to our website. This is the one way you contact us. Go to the website, go to landanddeliver.co.uk, and that gives you all the contact details of Louise's email address and my email address, and just, you know, tell us what you're struggling with, and we'd like to kind of put a future episode together and just kind of go with some really specific things that you're working on, and we can go through those.
So if this episode has connected and it's definitely resonated with you, you can like, you can subscribe, you can share it with others in your team that you're working with, or colleagues as well. And also you can get the show notes that include examples of what we've just talked about today in terms of simplifying, checking, and how to make sure your content is placed in the right place.
Yep, go to landanddeliver.co.uk. Thanks for joining us on this episode. You can always like and subscribe, and look forward to seeing you next time.